The top of Daf Mem Dalid Amud Beis. Amar of Ashi, Ki Elduse Mistavra. We saw in the last year on Daf Mem Dalid Amud Aleph that there were two girsos in the Mishnah in the relationship between Kesef and Zav. Rebbe in his Yaldus, in his youth, maintain the girsa that a kesef kona es hazov. Rebbe in his ziknus maintain the girsa as we have it, hazov kona es hakesef. In his yaldus, according to Rebbe, kesef is peri and zov is tiva, which means that, as we said, and we cannot overemphasize this, that if you want to sell a commodity, then the kinyan has to be made on the commodity itself, on the payer. But the transfer of the money without a kinyan on the guf adavar, on the metalton itself, the payer, is not binding. According to Rebbe's Yaldus, it would mean that the kinyan has to be made on the kesef in order to clinch the deal. The zav is only the means of payment. Whereas according to Rebbe Viziknuse, the way we have it in our Mishnah, it's the zav that's the payri. The kinyan has to be made on the zav. Rav Ashi is coming to support Rebbe Bialduse, Midiktani, because it says in the next part of the Mishnah, Hanachoshes Kona es hakesef, that vis-a-vis kesef, nechoshes is the peira, kesef is the tiva. Iyamit bishlema, if we accept Rebbe Bialdusa, which means hakesef kona es hazahav, that kesef is called peira, kaspa legabi dahava peira havi. In the relationship between kesef, silver, and gold, we're talking about currency, we're talking about coins, the silver is considered the peri. Hainu de katani, now we understand why the Mishnah had to tell us that hanachoshes kona es hakesef, that in the relationship between nechoshes, copper coins, and kesef, it is the copper coins that now play the role as peri, and kesef becomes tiva. Diafagav dulagabi dahava, even though kesef in its relationship with zahav, peira havi, it has the status of peira, which means that the tiva is always the more chashuv metal, and zahav is more chashuv than kesef, and therefore it has the status of tiva. Nevertheless, like, I mean, the choshes, that same kesef, which in its relationship to zav was sort of downgraded to the status of peira, nevertheless, with regard to its relationship to the choshes, tiva havi, it's upgraded to the status of tiva. And that's what the Mishnah wants to set up over here. It sets up zav kesef, but then kesef nechoshes, meaning that in the relationship between zav and kesef, kesef gets downgraded, so to speak, to peri. It's less choshev than zav. But the same kesef, with regard to its relationship to nechoshes, becomes upgraded to the status of tiva. And again, the assumption, the premise here we're operating with is that tiva reflects chashivus because it is the mode or the medium for payment. Elei amrit, but if you can interpret our Mishnah as we have it today, which is Rebbe Biziknuse, which means the Mishnah starts with establishing zav konas hakesef, that the zav is the peri, and then Kaspel Gabi Zov Tivahavi, then the silver in its relationship to Zov is Tiva. Why did the Mishnah then have to go ahead and tell me that Kesef is considered Tiva with regard to Nechoshes? If it's considered Tiva with regard to Zov, which has so many advantages, so many maluses, then certainly it's Tiva with regard to Nechoshes. Hashta. Now that Kesef Legabi Dahava in its relationship to Zov, Dechoshev Bidei, Zov is certainly a more Choshva coin, and nevertheless, Amrit Tiva Havi Kesef is upgraded to the status of Tiva, and the reason for that is because it's much more easy to circulate. It's Zov is so such an expensive metal that nobody wants to use it. I mean, you want to buy things in the market, you take out $1,000 bill, it's not going to be very productive. It's not that lucrative. Is the Gabi Nechoshes, if you're talking about the relationship now between Kesef and Nechoshes, the Iu Choshev, the Iu Charif, in its relationship to Nechoshes, Kesef has two advantages. First of all, it's more Choshev, just like we said before, that Zav is more Choshev than Kesef. Kesef is certainly more Choshev, silver than copper. And in addition, it's Charif. Charif means that a lot of people will use Kesef as the main medium of payment. Those are the coins, the silver coins that we use to buy and sell. Is me boy? Was there any need for the mission to tell me that Kesef has the status of Tiva vis-a-vis Nechoshes? So the Gemara says no. That's not a proof. It could very well be that Kesef, even though it's considered a matbea, according to Rebbe Bezeknuse, vis-a-vis Zahav, but nevertheless, I still need Itzrich to tell us that with regard to the relationship between Kesef and Nechoshes, Kesef still maintains that status of Tiva. There was a half meaning to say that although Kesef is Tiva vis-a-vis Zav, but nevertheless, in the case of a swap, an exchange of Kesef and Nechoshes, Dafka Nechoshes is more Charif, is something that we should consider as the means, the medium of payment. It's a Tiva. Salka, Daita Chamina, I would have said that with regard to the relationship between Zav and Kesef, Kesef is called a Matbea because of its Charifus, but nevertheless, in the relationship between Kesef and Nechoshes, Nechoshes is called Tiva and Kesef is called Pera. And why is that? Dahani Prite, Pruta is a word for a copper coin, the biasra, the sage, inhu, charifetve, in certain places, we can assume that when people want to do business, they do business with nechoshes, with copper coins. And therefore, if you're setting up a hierarchy and comparing Nechoshes to Kesef in terms of Charifus, how much it's over Lasocher, how much it's used in the market as a medium of payment, is Nechoshes comes out on top. It's more Charif than Kaspa. Therefore, it should be Tiva vis-a-vis Kaspa, and Kaspa should be Peri. Ema, I would think that Nechoshes Tiva Havi with relationship to Kesef. Kamash Malan Kema De'ika Duchta De'lo Sagi Bey. In other places, the Nechoshes is not over Lasocher, therefore, Perihav, in its relationship with Kesef, Kesef becomes more over Lasocher, more Charif, and therefore it's Tiva, and Nechoshes becomes Perihav. The Ritva explains that there's a certain advantage to a matbe of kesef in mischar, in business, in that it's more charif, but that's true when you're buying, let's say, more expensive products. But let's say you're buying inexpensive products, he calls them dvarim ketanim. In such a case, it's not so easy, it's not so logistically feasible to take out a coin that's silver, because a silver coin is worth so much more, and therefore the main currency will be these matbeos of nechoshes. And that's what the Gemara means when it says the asra de sage inu charifi tvei. What is this asra? What is this location? It's a location where the stores and the markets are buying and selling things that are ketanim, dvarim ketanim. And that's where the nechoshes has a greater charifus, and it's used as the major medium of currency. Therefore, it's a matbea. But on the other hand, kevon to ika duchte de lo sagive, which means that there are other places where the mischar is for dvarim gedolim, more expensive items, and there nobody's going to take out 1,000 pennies, you know, to pay for something. So nechoshes becomes less of a logistically feasible method of payment. Kesef is more charif, and therefore the silver coins become the matbea vis-a-vis nechoshes. It sounds like, according to the Ritva, this halacha that nechoshes has the status of peira vis-a-vis kesef is not always the case. The Meiri says that kesef is something that's always reliable. In certain places, they won't even take prutos. No way, no how. And kesef has the advantage that it's always accepted as a medium of payment. Let me read to you a little bit of the language. The Meiri says, Yesh mekom asher prutos hanechoshes yotzeis botza ve'im charifos yosef mikesef ve'rov mischar nas al yedeim achein adayin efshar lasos schora b'kesef b'harvi mekomos ein prutos yotzeis klal v'ashen kin kesef yotze b'chol ha-mekomos. So kesef has the advantage that it's absolute, meaning it's always reliable as a medium of payment. So it comes out that there was a havmina to establish and define nechoshes as tiva. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah wants to tell me in the Hemshech of the Mishnah that nechoshes kones hakesef, and the nechoshes is not tiva, but rather it's peira. The Gemara now wants to prove that Rabbi Chia holds like Rabbi Tzi'iruso, B'yalduse, that Zav, that gold, is considered a matbea vis-a-vis kesef. Now, in order to give a little bit of background to what Rabbi Chia is talking about, we'll mention the sugya on Daf Ayin Hey later on in this Masechta, which is called Halvas Saw B'Saw. And the Chachamim prohibited a person to lend someone a certain volume, call it a saw of chitin, of wheat, and expect that the borrower would return it and weigh out again a saw of chitin, that volume of chitin. And the reason for that is because of the suspicion that maybe between the moment of the lending and the moment of the returning, of the payback, the market value of chitin would have appreciated, and therefore the lova is now paying the malva more money in terms of its abstract value than what the malva received, than what the lova received at the time of the alva. And although that would not qualify as ribis d'oraisa, because ribis d'oraisa requires that up front, you know, the ribis was set in stone, Here it's only a possibility that it may turn out that he's giving him back a Sol Chitin at a higher value than the Sol Chitin that he received. Nevertheless, the Rabbanan prohibited it. And they said it's like Ribbis. And if this be the case, if let's say someone went ahead and he lent a saw of chitin to his friend, and then in the meantime it went up in value, his friend would be enjoined from returning a saw of chitin. That would be mechzik ribbis. But rather he'd have to weigh out a volume of chitin that would be equivalent in value to that same volume that he received at the time of the alva. So as a result of the appreciation, he's going to have to pay more than a saw. Okay. Now let's see how this all ties in to our discussion about Kesef being Peri, according to Rabbi Yaldusa, and Zav being Tiva. The Afra B'chiyah Sovereign Dahava Tiva Havi, that Zav is considered Tiva vis-a-vis Kesef. And again, in order to understand this, we have to assume that there's one currency which is always considered, we call it Ercho Eino Mishtan. It always has a set volume. It's not a value that fluctuates, that goes up and down. Meaning, in general, any commodity that you sell on the market, any object is going to fluctuate in its value. It goes up, it goes down. And even with regard to currency, the value of currencies also could go up and down. But there's going to be one metal, one kind of currency, which is, call it the Ikar HaMatbea, if you will, and everything is compared to that that everything is relative to that particular matbea ha'ikri. The matbea ha'ikri has an erech, it has a value that doesn't change ever. It's always stable. And Rabbi Chiya is going to say that status applies to Zav. That Zav is the, you know, everything. Anything you want to evaluate, you always evaluate it relative to Zav. The Afra Bichia Sovereign to Dahava Tiva Havi. The Rav, the case was that Rav Ozif Dinre, he borrowed money, Mi Barte de Rav Chia, from Rav Chia's daughter, Lesov, at the end, Iker Dinre. The value of Dinrei Zav appreciated vis-a-vis other matbeos. So let's say at the time of the halva, the Dinrei Zav could fetch X amount of Dinrei Kesef, and then by the time it was ready for payment for Rav to repay the loan and give back the Dinrei Zav would get X plus Y amount of Dinrei Kesef. And therefore, also Lakami to Rav Chia, Rav comes in front of Rav Chia was his uncle, to ask him, is it okay, is it permissible for him to be Porea, to pay back this loan to Rav Chia's daughter at the same amount of Dinrei Zav that he had taken a month ago, a year ago, whenever it was, even though now the Dinrei Zav is fetching a higher price, a larger amount of silver coins. Now it's a little bit strange here that Rav came to ask the Shaila when it was time for Piron. The halach of Sa B'Sa prohibits one from even taking that loan from the get-go. So he should have asked at the time of the halva whether or not he's allowed to do this. Okay, that's not clear. In any event, Amalei, Rav Chia's response was zil, shleim la, tovin uskilin. That is, give it back the best and the exact appropriate weight of gold as you had borrowed. In other words, Reb Chiya clearly understood that Zav is that absolute value, and it never fluctuates. It's got an erech tmidi liolam, so to speak. And as the matbeah ikari, as the main matbeah, there's no problem of fluctuation. The erech, the value of the dinrei zav, remains stable and constant throughout. And that reflects Rebbe's yalduse, that Rebbe held the yalduse that kesef konas azav, that zav is called tiva, vis-a-vis kesef. That means if there's any difference in how many dinrei kesef you have to pay in order to get a dinar zav, if that changes, that's because the value of dinrei kesef went up or down, not because the value of dinrei zav changed. Zav is the ikar matbea, and it never changes its value. And therefore, there's never going to be a problem of ribis if you return the exact quality and quantity of zav that you borrowed. It's not clear why Rabbi Chiya had to say to Rav, Tovin utkilin. That wasn't part of Rav's question. Rav's question was only, does he have to return, and may he return, dinrei zav? He wasn't asking about the quality of the type of dinrei zav. We can make sense and understand Rabbi Chiya's heter over here, his giving permission, if we presume that zav is tiva, and tiva, as we said before, doesn't change its value. And to show how much zav is tiva, we demonstrate it by showing that vis-a-vis kesef is considered tiva, which is Rebbe Bialduse. Shop, and then we understand why there's no Isur Ribis to repay a loan of dinrei zav with dinrei zav, even if dinrei zav now, in the meantime, have begun to fetch more kesef, more of the silver coins. The zav is the matbea, even vis-a-vis kesef, and it never changes its value. When it goes up, it's not because it went up in value, but because other currencies, let's say kesef, went down in value. Elei amrit peirahavi, but according to Rebbe b'ziknuse, that zav has the status of peira, it's a commodity that fluctuates up and down, havi le sav b'sa, it's exactly like when you borrow dinrei zav and you want to pay back dinrei zav, it's exactly the same as borrowing a sav chitin and paying back a sav chitin v'yosur, and in Rabbanah that's osur because we assume the possibility that tvua, that the chitin, the grains, the wheat went up in value, and therefore he's paying back more value than what he got to begin with, and that's ribis. The same thing should apply to gold if we assume that zav is peira. How could Rabbi Chiya allow this? And it only makes sense if we assume, like Rabbi Bialduse, that zav is tiva, and it never fluctuates in its value. Now the Gemara says, no, we were missing one variable in the exact case of Rav, when Rav asked the question. Really, you could say that Rabbi Chiya holds like Ziknusi of Rebbe, and kesef is matbea, is that which never changes. Nu, if that be the case, how could Rabbi Chiya permit a payback of dinrei zav? After all, dinrei zav may have gone up in value, and he's paying back more than what he took. It should be alvav sah b'sah. The answer is Rav dinrei havaleh. There's an exception to the rule, the rabbinic prohibition of sah b'sah. And what is that exception? That's in a situation where the lover has a saw of chitin to pay back from the time of Alva, but for whatever reason he wants to get another saw. He needs an extra saw, but he has the original saw. He has the equivalent saw when he borrows the money, and that's what happened here with Rav. Rav didn't have Rav was the proud possessor of Dinrei Zav. He had it in his Rishus at the time that he borrowed from the daughter of Rabchia, Dinrei Zav. He could, in effect, you know, paid it back immediately. V'kevan d'havilei Dinrei, once we established that Rav, the Lova, had Dinrei at the time of the loan, is Nasa Ka'omer law, this becomes like saying to her, meaning to the Malva, Halveni Achi Yovo Bini O Achi Emtza Mafteach. On a temporary basis, I don't have access to the Sav Chitin, and if I need to borrow a Sav Chitin, why don't I have access? Let's say it's locked up and I don't have the key. I have to find the key. My son has the key. He'll bring me the key. It's a temporary situation. And in such a case, the Rabbanan did not prohibit Sav Besa. They view it, and they matter it, as if the saw that's in the Rishus of the Lova, from the get-go, was nikneis, was given as a transferred as a kinyan, as an ownership, over to the Malva. And therefore, if the chitin, the saw of chitin, went up in value, it's as if the chitin of the Malva went up in value. And therefore, there's no ribbis. That's how Rashi explains it here. Dibra maschil dinri. And again, the key words in Rashi is that b'chai gavdalo gozer abono at the end of the Rashi. So that at this point, we don't know really conclusively what Rav Chiya holds about zav, whether it is considered tivo or not. We can certainly assume that possibly Zav is Peira. The reason why he allowed this is because Rav had that, you know, had a stashed away, he had a whole bunch of Dinrei Zav in his Rishus at the time in Alva. Now, Rava is going to quote a Brisa, and he's going to try to prove from this Brisa the Svara of Rav Yalduse, that Zav is considered a matbea in its relationship to Kesef, and Zav becomes the mainstay that doesn't fluctuate in value. Omar Rava Haitana Sova Dahavativa Havi Desanya. We learned at a Brisa we're going to prove that Zav is a Tiva. Pruta She'amru, Pruta is a reference to coins of Nechoshes. And they said, meaning the Chachamim said, as far as many dinim in the Torah, how much is the shear of a pruto, which is the lowest coin in its value in the whole system, in the whole currency system? It's a pruto of nechoshes, a copper coin, like a penny in America today is made of copper. Is echad mishmona beisar ha'italki. In other words, if you have an isar ha'italki, that's valued at 8 prutos. There are 8 prutos in an Isar Italki. So if you can find out the value of the Isar Italki, then a prut is worth 1/8 of that value. Now, it's not clear exactly what kind of metal is an Isar. Rashi and Tosis seem to assume that it's made of silver. The Rush, on the other hand, is of the opinion that it's made of copper, like a pruta. It's a larger coin, let's say, of copper, which is called an isar, and it's equivalent to 8 prutos. L'mainaf gemina, so the Brisa now asks, why is this significant? Why do we have to know that a pruta is 1/8 of an isar? L'kedushe isha, the Mishnah at the beginning, Kedushin, establishes that the minimum amount of money with which a man can be Mekadosh an isha is a Shava Pruta. And now we have to know exactly how do we evaluate the Shava Pruta? The answer is it's 1/8 of an Isar Italki. And therefore, let's say, for example, Prutos go down in value, and now instead of acquiring an Isar with 8 prutos, you'd have to give 10 prutos in order to acquire an Isar. In such a case, a man could not be Mekadosh an Isha with one pruta, because that one pruta is no longer worth the same value. he's got to give 1/8 of an isar, which would be more than a pruta. Pruta and change, shall we say. You know, if the pruta goes down by 50%, and now it takes 16 prutas to buy, and you have to exchange 16 prutos, 1/6, for an isar, then you'd have to give a woman 2 prutos in order to be makadisha. Now, the truth is that this din of a pruta, the requirement of a shava pruta, is relevant to many different areas in halacha, not just to the halacha of kiddushin. For example, we didn't have it yet, actually, but we're going to have 5 prutos hein, and it has to do with modav miksataina when you take a shvua. There are many, many dinim in which a shava pruta is the absolute bare bottom requirement of kesef. But apparently the Gemara wants to use the case of kiddushin because the Gemara is quoting a brisa, which is a brisa that's attached to the Gemara in kiddushin, and therefore tells you the value of a shavapruta for kiddushin. Now, Tosas, Dir Maschil Echad, and other Rishonim asked the question that the reason why we're going to be Mishayer, the Tana, the Brice is going to be Mishayer, 5 Sloim for Pidgin Aben in terms of Matbe of Zov and not Matbe of Kesef, is because Zov is the main coin. That's the Matbe HaIkri. And therefore, it is Dinrei Zov that determine the value of any other coin. Any other coin it fluctuates its value, and Zov remains absolutely constant. So if that be the case, then how could it possibly be that the Braisa, the Tana of the Braisa, tells you to be Mishayer a Prut of Nechoshes according to an Isar? It should have evaluated a pruta as a fraction of the value of the main matbeah, which is zav. The Tana should have told me what is the ratio between a pruta and zav, instead of a pruta and an isar italki. Even if I grant you the isar italki is kesef, but kesef is not the stable ikar matbeah, it's zav. The Erech that is kavua viome, that's unchangeable yolam, is that of matbeah of zav according to this brisa. So Tosus explains that all the shiurim that are mentioned in this brisa are going to ultimately lead to determining a relationship between the pruta and the zav. The pruta is 1/8 of the isar, and then we're going to find out the relationship between an isar and a dinar of kesef, and then the relationship between a dinar of kesef and zav. And based on this whole hierarchy, we're going to ultimately be able to determine the value of a pruta, because how many prutas would it take to buy a dinar of zav? Tosfos says, in truth, the Tana could have given an afkamina for all the shiurim le'inyan kiddushei kesef, but the Tana wants to give us nafkaminas even in the dinim of matbeos beyond kiddush. Tosfos means to say that with regard to each particular coin, he could have said that that's a nafkamina le'kiddushei isha in order to establish what a shava pruta is. But the Braisa prefers to tell you in each particular coin what the nafkamina might be, to expand that discussion. Anyway, the Braisa continues and says, how much is an Isar? We know that a Pruta is 1/8 of an Isar. How much is an Isar? Echad me esrim vi arba bedinar shel kesef. So you need 24 Isarim in order to buy a single dinar of kesef. So an Isar is 1 over 24 of a dinar of kesef. And l'may nafkimin, again, this is all l'chora nafkimina l'kidusha isha, but the Gemara wants to establish a separate nafkimina for each coin. And the Braisa says, l'mekach u'memkar. So let's say a person sells his friend a dinar kesef, so he's got to get in return 24 isrim. If he takes more than 24 isrim, that would be a violation of the isur onah, because he's getting more than his value. He's being overcharged. The dinar shel kesef, and how much is the value of one dinar of kesef vis-a-vis zov? Echad mi esrim v'chamesh, it's 1/25 of a dinar of zov. In other words, a dinar of zov is worth 25 dinrim of kesef. And of course, my nafkamina, the Gemara could have said, the Braisa could have answered, nafkamina l'kedusha isha, nafkamina l'mekach u'memkar, but the Braisa wants to come up with another category of nafkamina. And nafkamina l'pidgin ha-ben, because the Torah requires that a person be poda his ben with chameshas shkolim, and every shekel of the Torah shekel is worth 4 dinrim, and therefore you'd have to give the Kohen 20 dinrei kesef. And the Bryce wants to tell us that if the Aviya Ben, in order to be poda his Bechar, gives the Kohen a dinar of Zav, then he's giving him 25 dinrim when he's only chayev 20 dinrim, and the Kohen would have to give him change of 5 dinrim. Now Rava concludes his presentation, his proof, that the time of this Braisa holds like Rebbe B'Yaldusei, Iyamit B'Shleima, if you can understand that the status of Zav is Tivahavi, it's the unchangeable, it's the main Matbea, is then the Tana makes sense. Mishair Tana, the Tana is evaluating the shear of 5 of Shkolim of Pidgin HaBen, B'midi the Kayetz, and something that's Kavua, that's always going to be the same, and that's Zav. So he's telling you in an absolute way that the value of 5 Shkolim vis-a-vis Zav is the equivalent of 25 Dinrei Kesef. And that's always going to be the same. Ela I Amrit, if you're going to maintain, like Rebbe B'Ziknusei, that Peirahavi, that Zav has the status of Peiri, and the main Matbea is Kesef, then why would you be Meshire 5 Shkolim for Pidgin HaBen in terms of its worth in Zav? I mean, that's going to change, that's going to fluctuate. Is Meshire Tana B'Midi the Okir Vizil? It doesn't make sense that the Tana would determine the shear of 5 shkolim that he has to give to be poda his son, give to the Kohen, with something that is going to appreciate and depreciate. It goes up in value and it goes down in value. And that's not the right way of telling a person how much the father should give for Pidgin HaBen in terms of its of the relationship of the currency to a dinar zav, such that the Kohen has to give back 5 dinrim. If the Yisrael gave a dinner of Zav, that doesn't make any sense, because Zimna de Mahadar Le Kohana, if the value of the dinner of Zav is up, then the Kohen has to give change back. But Zimna de Mosif Le Iula Kahan, if the value of the Zav goes down, then the dinner of Zav is more than 25 dinrei kesef. No, I'm sorry. If the value of the dinar zav goes up, then it's worth more than 25 dinrei kesef, and the Kohen is going to have to give back more than 5 dinrei kesef. But if the value of the dinar zav goes down, then in those situations, the father would have to give to the Kohen more than just the dinar zav. A dinar zav would not be enough. So it doesn't make sense that the Braisa would establish the value of 5 dinrim, 5 shkolim, excuse me, for Pidgin HaBen in a fluctuating situation, and tell you a relative law rather than a stable and constant law. Elishmamino, but therefore we should conclude that Zav is Tiva Havi, and therefore since it's Tiva, even its relationship to Kesef, the Kohen would always have to give back to the father, if the Kohen received a dinar zav, a fifth of the dinar zav. whatever amount of in kesef, that in dinri kesef that might be. Shma mino, we see therefore conclusive evidence that the Braisa is of the opinion like Rebbe Beyalduse, that a zav is tiva, it's constant and it's the main currency, and therefore everything else is relative. Every other value of every other currency, every other coin, whatever metal it comes from, whether it's nechoshes, whether it's kesef, is always relative to the zahav. Now the Gemara continues its analysis of which is considered more of matbea in the relationship between zahav and kesef, and we're going to now go into the discussion of pidyon masa sheni, which means that a person is mafrish Maser Sheni, one-tenth of his produce, to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten b'kedusha. If he can't schlep all of that 10% of his annual produce, he'll be able to redeem that produce, that peira, on kesef. And then the kesef is brought up to Yerushalayim, and there you buy foodstuff and you eat it b'kedusha. So now we're going to look at the Mishnah in the second parak of Maser Sheni. Tanan Hosam, with regard to mos that are serving as pidyon of Maser Sheni, and these mos have to be brought up to Yerushalayim, and there you purchase machals, Beit Shammai Omrim, lo yaseh odom sloim dinrei zav. If a person has sloim of kesef, which have been sanctified with Kedushas Maser Sheni, he's not allowed to be machal them onto dinrei zav, even though he would need to carry a fraction of the coins up to Yerushalayim. In other words, in the relationship between kesef and dinri zav, we already have seen that the ratio of kesef to zav is 1 in 25. So instead of schlepping 25 coins to Yerushalayim, he wants to schlep one single coin. And Beit Shammai says that's prohibited, even though it would certainly lighten his burden. Whereas Beit Shammai matir. And we're going to have a number of different ways of interpreting this machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. And we're going to see that in some of the ways that we're interpreting the limitation rule, the restrictive rule of Beit Shammai is Doraisa, and in other interpretations it's only Derabbanan with a gzera. So the sugya now presents a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We don't know who holds what, as to how to interpret the machlokas in the Mishnah and Maaseh Sheni between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Chad Amar, according to one view, machlokas bisloim al dinrim. If you want to take a sela of kesef, which is sanctified through pidyon with the kedusha Maaseh Sheni, and now you want to transfer it over to dinrei zav, Beit Shammai savri kaspa tiva v'dahava peri. Beit Shammai holds like Rebbe Biziknuse, that kesef, that silver is considered tiva, right? That's the main matbea. And the status of zav is that of peri in its relationship to kesef. And that's why, since zav is peri, that's why the Mishnah, as we have it, which is Rebbe Biziknuse, says that zav hazav kones hakesef. Now we have a rule with regard to chilul mos maaser sheni that tiva peira lo mechalinuna. We're not allowed to take a matbea that's already been sanctified with kedushas maaser sheni through a chilul process and be mechal that onto peri. And since in the relationship between kesef and zav, kesef is considered the matbea, zav is considered peri, therefore you cannot be mechal these sloim of kesef onto dinrim of zav. Ubeis hil savri, kaspa peri davativa, beis hil hold like the sheet of Rebbe Bialduse that kesef is peri. Uperi ativa mechalinen, since zav is considered tiva, relative to Kesef. Therefore, you could be Mechalel these dinrim of Kesef onto Zav, because Zav is the Tiva. You're not being Mechal onto Peros. Aval Peros, al dinrim, is the Direi HaKol Mechalinon. If, let's say, you have the Peros themselves, back to the original fruits that were tithed, that were set aside as Maaser Sheni, you can redeem them and transfer the Kedusha onto Dinrei Zohav. That for sure we could do. In other words, even Beit Shammai would allow for... In other words, again, this is the theory of relativity. What exactly is the status of Zav according to Beit Shammai? Well, it's all relative. If you're talking about the relationship between Zav and Kesef, then Zav is Peri, and therefore you cannot be Mechalel, you cannot be Mechal Sloim of Kesef onto Dinrei Zav. But if you're talking about the relationship, the ratio between Dinrei Zav and Peri, in that relationship, the status of Zav, of Dinrei Zav, is that of Matbea, and therefore Dinrei Zav lend themselves for Chilul Peres Maaser Sheni. Again, you can't be Mechalel, you can't be Mechalel Slom shall Kesef onto Dinrei Zav. That we can't do. My time in the Gemara explains, according to this Mandi Omar, Midi Dehavi HaKesef LeBeis Hillel, Kesef LeBeis Hillel, Afal gav de kaspo gabi dehavi peri havi. After all, Beis Hill is of the opinion that in the relationship between Zohav and Kesef, Zohav is considered matbea, and Kesef is considered pera. Quint Beis Hillel, Kesef is considered pera, like Rabbi Bialduse, and therefore Beis Hill permit you to be Mechalel Kesef onto Zav. You're not being Mechalel onto Peri, you know, Kesef onto Peri, you're being Mechal Peri onto Kesef. And nevertheless, Legabe Peri, with regard to Peris Mamish, is Tivahavi. Nevertheless, we define Kesef as Tiva, meaning you can be Mechalel, you can be Mechal Peris Maaser Sheni onto Peri, is now Zav Nami LeBeit Shammai. If we go back to the status of Zav according to Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai accepts Rebbe B'Ziknuse, that Kesef is Tiva and Zav is Peri, so Afal Gav, did the Havel Gabi Kaspa Peri have, even though we define Zav as Peri, and therefore you cannot be Mechalel Kesef onto Zav, but Gabi Peri relative to Peros Tiva Havi. Meaning that the inherent status of Zav is always that of a Tiva vis-a-vis Peros, just vis-a-vis Kesef, we see that Zav is Peri, and you cannot be Mechalel Maaser Sheni of Kesef onto Zav, on coins of Zav. That's one approach to the Machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. V'chad Amar, according to the second approach, the Machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai is a much broader one. It's not limited to the case of someone who wants to be Mechalel Kesef onto Zav, which according to Beit Shammai is prohibited. But moreover, Af b'peros al dinri machlokas. According to Beit Shammai, there is no permission to take peri, meaning the original peros of Maaser Sheni, and be mechal them onto Zav. Why? Because even in the relationship between Zav and peri, we define Zav as peri, and you cannot be mechal peros onto peros, which means that the status of Zav as Peri, according to Beit Shammai, in this second approach, is not just Peri vis-a-vis silver coins, vis-a-vis Kesef, but Peri Mamish. In other words, inherently and essentially, the status of Zav, according to this interpretation of Beit Shammai, is that of Peri. And therefore, you cannot be Mechal, even Peros of Maaser Sheni, the original, onto Matbe of Zav. You can only use a Matbe of Kesef for that. What becomes clear is that according to both opinions, in how to interpret the machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, the main question is, which is the matbea ha'ikri? Beit Shammai holds, like Rebbe Bezeknuse, that kesef is tiva, it's the matbea ha'ikri. It's that primary matbea that never appreciates or depreciates. It's always got a standard constant value. And that would be relevant to Mekach u'Memkar, to Chil Peres Maaser Sheni. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds like Rebbe Bialduse, and that is that Zav is the Matbea Ha'ikri, and we always assume that Zav doesn't change its value. That becomes constant. The Gemara asks the following question now. Ulaman di Omar af Beperis al dinri machlokes, according to the second approach that we had, that broadens the scope of this machlokes and the chumra of Beit Shammai, which means that Beit Shammai does not allow one to be machal peros, the original peros of Maaser Sheni, onto dinri zav, is adem miflegi bisloim al dinrim liflegi liflog beperis al dinrim. Why did the Mishnah have to formulate the machlokes between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai in the case where he has silver coins that have already been used for Chil Peres Maaser Sheni and all been sanctified with Kedushas Maaser Sheni? He wants to be machal them onto Zav. Why not go back to basics? And the Mishnah should have presented the machlokes in the original Peros, the Peros al Dinrim. Meaning, can you be mechalel peros onto dinrei zav? Meaning, establish that according to Beit Shammai, the status of dinrei zav is always that of peri. It's not just a relativity theory relative to dinrei kesef, but it's an absolute. It's peri mamish. And if you would have told me that zav is, you know, dinrei zav are considered, defined according to Beit Shammai as peri, vis-a-vis peros mamish, then how much more so vis-a-vis kesef it would be considered peri? And the Gemara answers, e iflug beperos al dinrim, if the Mishnah had formulated this machlokas in terms of whether he's allowed to be machal peros onto dinrim, maybe we wouldn't have understood Beis Hillel. That's the problem. Havamina, we would have thought, hani mili, when do Beis Hillel disagree with Beit Shammai, and they have a more permissible approach, and their Matir Chilul, that's only Peros onto Dinrim, because relative to Peros, Dinrei Zav have the status of Matbea, Avol Besloim al Dinrim. Maybe if you have Sloim of Kesef that were sanctified through Chilul with Kedushas Maaser Sheni, now you want to be Mechal them onto Dinrei Zav, Modu Lehem Beis Hillel LeBeit Shammai, that it's not permissible. Why did the Havel Gabi Kasper Peri have a Velo Mechal Linon? Again, if you were to tell me that relative to Peri Mamish, the Dinrei Zav have the status of Tiva, that would still leave me open to draw the conclusion that Dinrei Zav vis-a-vis Sloim of Kesef have the status of Peri. And therefore you cannot be Mechal Sloim of Kesef, even according to Beis Hillel, onto Dinrei Zav. And therefore it's critical that the Mishnah, in order to clarify the Shita of Beis Hillel, formulates the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai in the case of Dinrei of Sloim of Kesef that were already sanctified with Kedushas Maaser Sheni through a Chil process. Can you be Machal those coins of silver onto coins of Zav onto Dinrei Zav Kamash Malon? That Beis Hillel is Mekil not only in being Mechalel Peri Mamish onto Dinrei Zav, but even with regard to being Mechalel Sloim of Kesef onto Dinrei Zav, Beis Hillel is liberal and he allows for that chilul. But in truth, again, according to this interpretation, the second interpretation of the Machlokes, Beit Shammai argue with Beis Hillel, even with regard to being Machal Peres onto Dinrei Zov Mamish, because Dinrei Zov in and of themselves, in their very essence, have the status, the classification of Peros, and you can't be Machal Peres onto Peros. Now the Gemara wants to prove that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds that the Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai is the broader scope Machlokas, which means that you cannot be Machal El Peros Mamish onto Dinrei Zov Tistayim, the Rabbi Yochanan who the Omer Ein Machalalin. Then Beit Shammai would say that even to be Machal Peres onto Dinrei Zov is objectionable. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? And here we're moving on to Daf Memtes Omen Aleph. Asur Lilvos Dinar Bedinar. You cannot borrow a dinar and return a dinar. Why? Because that has the status of Sah B'Sah. Now, if we assume, which we're going to have to prove, that the word dinar here is a reference to Dinrei Zav, then Rabbi Yochanan is now defining Zav, right, gold coins, as Peri Mamish, and it becomes Sav B'Sav. So the Gemara says the following, dinar demai, what kind of dinar is Rabbi Yochanan talking about? Elam, if we'll assume, dinar shel kesef, and dinar shel kesef. That makes no sense because Agabi Nafshe Mi Kamandi Omer Lav Tivahavi. Everybody agrees, and Beit Shammai would not disagree, and Rabbi Yochanan for sure would not disagree that the status of Kesef is that of Tiva vis-a-vis itself. Ela Pshita, but rather by proselytization, we have to assume that when Rabbi Yochanan prohibits a halva of a dinar bedinar, he's talking about a dinar shel zav bedinar shel zav. Ulaman, and according to which sheet is Rabbi Yochanan saying this? E le Beis Hillel ha'amri tivahavi. Beis Hillel is the one who accepts the Rebbe Bialdusa that Zav is a tivah and it's constant; it doesn't change in its value, and therefore it'd be tivah b'tivah. Dinner Zav b'dinner Zav would be muta. There's no chashash of ribbis here. It doesn't look like ribbis. And there's no appreciation, so that he's not paying him back more, and it's not so b'saw. And therefore, by proselytization, alav le-Beit Shammai. He's addressing the shita of Beit Shammai, and according to Beit Shammai, holding like Rebbe B'Ziknuse, is kesef, is the main matbeah, is the matbeah ikri, ushma mina, and we see from Yochanan Huti Omar, that according to Beit Shammai, ain mechal, and even Peres Mamish, you can't be mechal on Dinrei Zav, because the status of Dinrei Zav is that of Peri. It's not even considered a matbea relative to Peros. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says you're not allowed to borrow or lend out a dinar of Zav and expect in return a payment of dinar Zav, because you're talking about Peri. And Peri be Peri. Is Sal B'Sal is also Mishum Ribis the Rabbanon. And the Gemara rejects this and says, Lo, that's not so. Li'olam Eimelucha Rabbi Yochanan Hu Di'omer Mechalalin. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the, what we call the more narrow scoped understanding of Beit Shammai, which means that if you want to be Mechal Peros Mamish onto Dinrei Zav, then relative to Peri, is Dinrei Zav is considered Tiva, and therefore the Chilul is a perfectly valid Chilul. It's only when we compare relative to Dinrei Zav relative to Kesef, that's when Dinrei Zav have the status of Peri, and you cannot be Mechal, the Kedushas, Maisesheni of Kesef onto Zav. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan prohibits, according to this shita, to borrow Dinrei Zav and pay back Dinrei Zav. Why? Because Shani Alva came under Linyan Mekach Umemkar Shavyu Rabbanon Kiperi. Since, with regard to Mekach Umemkar, the Rabbanon established that Dinrei Zav have the status vis-a-vis Kesef as Peri. So if you made an exchange between between Peri, I'm sorry, between Zav and Kesef, the Zav becomes Peri, and that's our mission of Hazav Kone Es HaKesef. So the Mashiach on the Zav is Mashiach on Peri, and that clinches and binds the Kenyan. Is therefore the Amrinan Ihu Niu the Oker Vizal. In Dini Momenis, what we're saying is a Mekach Umemkar, that which of the coins goes up and down in value, and which is considered Peri, that's the Zav. It's the Zav that goes up and down in value. Is Mimela Gabi Alvan Nami Peri Havi, since the Zav is going to go up in value, possibly, therefore you're going to return Zav, which is valued more at the time of the Piron than at the time of the Alvan. That's prohibited under the Issa the Rabbanon of Sav B'Sav. Again, Rabbi Yochanan was never denying that Zav has the status of Matbea. It is a Matbea. It is Tiva, and therefore you can be Machal El Peros, even according to Beit Shammai, onto Dinrei Zav. The reason why there's a problem of Halva in Dinrei Zav, of Sav B'Sav, is because when we get to the Dinim of Mekach U'Memkar, then Beit Shammai is of the opinion that it is the Dinrei Zav that fluctuate in value, and that's why they have the status of Peri in terms of an exchange, a barter between Zav and Kesef. It's the Zav that has to clinch the Kenya because it's Peri, and Peri means it goes up and down in value vis-a-vis Kesef, and therefore since it fluctuates its value, you have a serious problem of Ribis, of Sabasa. Now the Gemara wants to assume that I have a little bit of a proof, he says, to tip the scale in favor of this understanding that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Beit Shammai would agree that you could be Mechal Peres Mamish onto Dinrei Zav. And why is that so? The Chiasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, which is something that he heard from Yochanan, who was one of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, Afal Pisha Omru, Asu Lilvos Dinar Bedinar, Av Mechalin Masasheni Olav, even though lending a dinar of Zav in order to get repaid with a dinar of Zav is prohibited, because gold is peri and it goes up and down in value, but nevertheless you can still permit, and Beit Shammai would still permit, being mechal peris mamish of Maaseh Sheni onto Dinrei Zav, which means that in terms of the definition of Dinrei Zav, Rabbi Yochanan established the theory of relativity, that relative to Kesef, it has the status of Peri, but relative to Peri Mamish, it has the status of a Tiva. And it means that Rabbi Yochanan here, as he's quoted by Ravin, is talking about the Shita of Beit Shammai, that Dinrei Zav have the status of Peri vis-a-vis Matbea of Kesef, and that's why, since the Zav is that which fluctuates and appreciates in value, therefore it's also to be malved, it becomes, you know, the dinar b'dinar in Zav becomes equivalent to Sav b'Sav, which is Asur. And Rabbi Yochanan said that even so, even though relative to Kesef, Zav is considered Peri, but nevertheless you can be Mechalel Peros of Maaseh Sheni onto Zav, onto Dinrei Zav, and the reason for that is that relative to Peri, the status of Zav is that of a Matbea. But it comes out that according to this presentation of Rabbi Yochanan, the Machlokes Shem Beisil Beit Shammai is only with regard to being Mechalel Slaim of Kesef onto Dinrei of Zav, and that's the more limited scoped definition of the Machlokes. But indeed, as far as being Mechal Peros onto Dinrei Zav, even Beit Shammai will allow that. Shema Mina, this is a perfect proof that it's Rabbi Yochanan who holds that Beit Shammai allows Chilul Peros of Maaseh Sheni onto Dinrei Zav, and they never argued against Beisil, except in the case of Chilul Sela Kesef onto Dinrei Zav. And here on Posai, we're going to stop the shiur for now, and Mirtz Hashem, in the next shiur, continue here on Daf Mem Hey Omer Aleph.